too many of these AI tools, I think, are just making a lot of us less creative because it's this kind of easy way out. The best parts of that picture you didn't even make. What's the point? It's like, so now you're never going to practice developing your eye, developing your craft and your creativity to create that yourself. You're just letting the computer do it. People rely on it for that, and people will never even try to achieve something beyond.
Welcome back to another episode of Silicon Valley Front Row. I'm David Lam. This is Steve Ispas, your co-host. And we're continuing the discussion about the AI actress, Tilly Norwood, that we spoke about last time. She is making a lot of buzz in Hollywood. So we want to bring on a indie filmmaker named Rudy Ruiz. He's based in the Los Angeles area. And he has experience from filmmaking and as well as on-set camera work and writing as well. So, Rudy, thanks for being with us. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Yes, good, good.
Hey, Rudy, nice to have you with us here. So, we've been kind of analyzing this AI development with the actress. We talked to Christina last time. And, if you just look at her, you can't really tell it's an AI character. And I think if you would ask someone on the street, would you like to watch a movie with her? They would probably say, well, why not? She's pretty, why would I not want to watch a movie with her? Not knowing that she's an AI character. But I kind of want to get your thoughts as a filmmaker. What do you think about introducing this concept of an AI actress in Hollywood?
Yeah, I'm definitely... I don't like it. I think there's plenty of actors out there that, are working hard to get their shot. And I would rather connect with a real person's performance than just some AI prompt. It just seems too fake and too cartoony to me. And there's plenty of people out there that'll do the job that, just deserve to get that work, I think. So I'm definitely not for it. I personally don't want to see any feature films that feature just like basically a cartoon character person. You know what I mean? Not for that.
How do you think it impacts the work of a filmmaker in the sense of you have the choice now to choose a real person or to use an AI character?
I feel like overall, even... not just the actress aspect of it, but too many of these AI tools, I think, are just making a lot of us less creative, if I'm being honest, because it's this kind of easy way out. So I think it's the impact to me is just like a lack of creativity from people when you're letting something else either do the work or generate the work for you. And it's not really coming from a real place or real experiences, if that makes sense. And I think it's just going to degrade the quality of storytelling as it progresses, I know not everyone agrees with me on that, but I feel pretty strongly about that. I can't see how from a storytelling and a creative perspective that it's going to make, films better. Yeah.
Yeah. No, thanks for sharing that. People do say that it does give aspiring writers or movie makers a chance to get something out there. But then from your perspective, since say you're setting up a shot, trying to compose and know what to film, and you got to use a lot of creative juices there. But when someone just makes a prompt, all that was generated already. They don't have to go out and film. It's just at the tips of their fingertips. How do you feel about that as a filmmaker?
Yeah, I'm just not for it. I mean, I mentioned, I think it just makes people less creative. Like I have a friend who I've known for probably 15 years now, who also he's a really good camera operator, like just has such a good eye. He's super talented, but he saw a product shot that I did on my Instagram of bottles, like where I was practicing my lighting. And he was inspired by that. So that's cool. Artists inspiring other artists. And he did his kind of version of it on his own. But most of it, like more than half of it, he used like the new AI. There's some new AI tools in Photoshop. that like generated a background for him. So even though he lit this bottle, everything else, this colored background with these textures and these like little props, was AI generated. And I'm like, all right, on one hand, it's cool. Like, you know, you got some inspiration and you went and you practiced, you know, this thing, but then half the work wasn't even you. Like you didn't do it. Like you didn't have the thought to, oh, I'll use these colors or I'll use these props and how it'll be complementary to the product that I'm lighting. And so to me, the creativity is kind of stunted, you know? And I think a lot of people are kind of falling into that hole or that trap, you know? And even with Photoshop, you know, you can take a picture of something, you can get a shot of, say, someone standing in like a forest, but you can extend the image to like, oh, now if you extend the image, maybe there's a fire and there's, you know, like a lake and the stars and the clouds are reflecting off the water and it's this really cool image. But now is the person who shot the photo, like the best parts of that picture you didn't even make. The computer made that. And so what's the point? It's like, so now you're never going to practice like developing your eye, developing your craft and your creativity to create that yourself. You're just letting the computer do it. And I think in the long run, like right now, it might not be a big deal, but I think the more and more people rely on it for that, I think it's just going to sap the creativity, and people will never even, you know, try to achieve, you know, something beyond. So I think that's a real bummer. And that's part of why I don't like to use that in my own work. I try not to even entertain that idea.
Thanks. Really appreciate your time on that. David, I think this really goes back to some of the two things we talked about before, which I think are pretty significant. One is the creativity, right? Yeah. So what makes a human human in so many ways is creation, creating. Like it's a composer, an artist in so many ways. Even when you talk, right? You don't know exactly what you're going to say next, right? It's going to be on the spur of the moment. So all this AI stuff, it doesn't create stuff. It generates is from existing materials, existing images, existing things. That's what it uses to make things from existing stuff. It doesn't create anything. And indeed, the creativity in the long run may be completely destroyed in that sense. And the other thing is also we talked about is how it makes people lazy in the sense that you just press a few buttons and then it's going to do it for you. So even if you had creativity, it's going to shut it down because you're not going to need it anymore. So it discourages it in addition to not using it, but it even discourages it.
Yeah, it goes back to that survey about how people, like more than half of the adults, U.S. adults, say that it's the risk of AI is that it erodes human abilities and connections. Yes. And if we could just make something from just typing a few things, that does make things more efficient, but less brain power, yes. You know, that comes from our real experiences and emotions, you know. And one other thing is interesting is in terms of efficiency and saving costs, I do want to ask Rudy about how much money can filmmakers how much money can filmmakers actually save if they opt in for using AI?
Yeah, it's hard to say on a large scale. And it's funny, I saw that you guys kind of prepped me with that question. So I asked a friend of mine who's actually a line producer for Miramax. So he does a lot of budgets and management, managing budgets and all that on, you know, multi-million dollar movies. And he was saying that at this point, it's still a few years from where it can really save anything because there's going to be so much time spent fixing. Because it's not going to be right. It's not going to be perfect. Someone's going to have to still mold it and fix it. And then in that time frame, it's kind of a waste of time. So I can't even say. But I do know on a smaller scale, you know, I forgot the name of this software or this plugin, but there's an AI software that you can use for podcasts. And it'll edit a multi-camera podcast for you. I think the tests I saw, it was like a 40-minute long video, three cameras, and it edited down in 4 seconds. So for something like that, if let's say I have my podcast or you guys have your podcast and you hire an editor at, I don't know, $50 an hour, maybe it takes them, I don't know, 8 hours to edit that. So 50 times eight, whatever that cost. Well, now you pay a subscription of, let's say, 20, 30 bucks a month, and this thing just cut the podcast for you in 4 seconds. So in the long run, that can be quite a bit of money that you save if you're hiring an editor, and now there's someone that just lost their job, you know?
You don't have much of a choice in what you get after those 4 seconds, right? You know, with an editor, you go back and forth. You tell them, no, I wanted this different. I want this different. It's going to be difficult to do that with the AI tool. I want to ask you one final question about the actors. You know, we talked to Christina about this. Actors have to work so hard to perfect their lines, to perfect their physique, their looks, everything, right? How will this change when you have this character that's there perfect and doesn't get fat, doesn't get old, is going to be gone? So what's their motivation to even pursue a career in acting?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I ask myself that just in terms of filmmaking right now with how the industry is going. I think if it's just a craft and something creative you have to do and you just feel it deep down, they're going to be motivated no matter what. You know, like there's always going to be actors out there that want to do that gig and are going to pursue it. And if not in film and television, because we're going this AI route, then there's always theater, you know, so there's always some other kind of live performing art that you can do. That, you know, AI is never going to take that away, I hope, you know, like live performance. So I think that would be motivating enough. But yeah, I mean, who knows?
Okay. Well, Rudy, thank you so much for your time. David, I think we covered this quite a bit. It's an interesting story. I think it, you know, my opinion doesn't look good. I mean, she looks good, but the direction doesn't look good. Any final thoughts on your side?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you said. From the actress looks good, you know, all the development, the visuals. As far as how it impacts the film industry and the art behind it, because I know with filmmaking and art, and even us on camera, we do have to perfect our skills, and that takes trial and error.
Yes, like, yes.
Yeah, I remember when I first started going on camera, I was like, it's embarrassing to watch my yeah. stuff. But yeah, I mean, that's a wrap, and we could probably ask some questions.
Yes, again, to our audience, any questions about this whole AI actress industry? What do you think about it? Do you think it's going to replace the industry or not? Or is it just going to be another side of Hollywood that's going to stay separate from the real actress?
And also, if Tilly Norwood gets an Emmy, per se, compared to a person, how would you feel about that? How would the categories for the award ceremony go? Let us know your thoughts.
Thank you, and see you next time.